Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be honoring and glorifying to you. O God, our Savior, Redeemer. Amen. We are continuing in our sermon series in the book of Galatians. No other gospel. Paul's teachers were in certain doubts sa mga tiga Galatia about the validity of the gospel and pati na din yung authority ng gospel messenger na kung saan si Paul. For the past three chapters, Paul was preaching ng paulit-ulit ng justification is only by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Paul even defended his apostolic authority for the sake of the gospel that he champions. But the false teachers are ruthless. They pressed on. They were pursuing hard yung Galatians. And because of that, the Galatians were slowly drifting away from the truth of the gospel. And in our passage today, mapapansin natin that Paul changed his tone. Okay? He seemed, compared sa mga previous passages na inaral natin, he seemed to be more concerning. He seems to be more caring. Why? Bakit kaya? Well, it's because in this part ng letter na sinulat ni Paul sa Galatians, ito ay tinatawag na personal letter or a pastoral letter. He is speaking to them out of a heart that is broken. He's crushed. He's broken. Dadaan-daan na silang lumilihis, yung mga Galatians, sa tunay na gospel. Sa salita ng Diyos. Their joy and zeal are starting to be misplaced. So Paul appeals in this letter like a loving father to his rebellious children. He reminds them, he instructs them, that true sons of God find their joy in God's word and are zealous for his purposes. True sons of God find their joy in God's word and are zealous for his purposes. We have 3 points sa passage na ito. Number one, who are you imitating? Verse 12, or first part of verse 12. Number two, what happened to your joy? Verses 12 to verses 16. And number three, what I am willing to commit? Verses 17 to 20. We are continuing in our sermon series in the book of Galatians. No other gospel. False teachers were inserting doubts sa mga tiga Galatia about the validity of the gospel of grace at pati na din ang authority ng gospel messenger, which is si Paul. For the past 3 chapters, Paul was preaching ng paulit-ulit na yung justification is only by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Paul even defended his apostolic authority for the sake of the gospel that he champions. But the false teachers are ruthless. They pressed on. They were pursuing hard the Galatians. The Galatians are now slowly drifting away. Away from the true gospel, away from Paul and his teachings, because they are now pursuing a gospel that neither the apostles in Jerusalem or si Paul mismo had taught. And in our passage today, mapapansin natin that Paul changed his tone. Now, yung tone ni Paul dito, hindi kaparehas ng mga tone na ginawa na sa first part ng chapter 4, kasi yung tone na rito sounds different. He seemed to sound more concerned. Now why? Why did Paul immediately change tone sa passage na ito? Well, because this is yung tinatawag na personal and pastoral part ng letter ni Paul. He is speaking to them out of a heart that is broken. Out of a heart that has been crushed. Dahil daan-daan na silang lumilihis sa tunay na gospel. Sa salita ng Diyos. Their joy and zeal are starting to be misplaced. So Paul appeals to this part ng passage na ito sa letter na ito, like a loving father to his rebellious children. He reminds them and instructs them that true sons of God find their joy in God's word and are zealous for his purposes. True sons of God find their joy in God's word and are zealous for his purposes. We have divided itong passage into 3 points, and some of them are in question form. Number one, who are you imitating? First part in verse 12. Number two, what happened to your joy? Second part in verse 12, hanggang 16. And number three, what I am willing to commit? Verses 17 hanggang 20. Let's jump in immediately to the first part. Who are you imitating? Sabi sa verse 12, or first part in verse 12. Brothers, I entreat you, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. Paul here pleads, begs, nakikiusap sa mga Galatians to imitate him, nagayahin siya, to follow him. At hindi yung mga Judaizers, hindi yung mga false teachers na sunod-sunod nilang patuloy nilang sinusunod o ginagaya. Kasi mga false teachers na ito ay nililin lang lamang sila. At saan naman nila kailangan gayahin si Paul? Well, sa immediate context nito, to become free from the law. Paul wants them to follow him, to imitate him to, para maging free sa law. Because they are in bondage sa law. Kasi walang makapagtupag ng law. Kasi po, nung pumunta si Paul sa Galatia, hindi siya namuhay ng parang Jew na kung saan pilit ng sinusunod ng mga Jewish dietary laws, yung circumcision, observing mga rituals and festivities in order to be justified and sanctified by these. Hindi niya gusto ma-convert to a type of Judaism ang mga Galatians gaya ng ginagawa ng mga Judaizers sa kanila. Sa halip, pumunta siya sa Galatia and became like Galatians. What does it mean na parang naging Galatian si Paul? Well, namalengke siya kung saan sila namamalengke. Hinanda niya ang pagkain sa pamamaraan na hinahanda nila ang pagkain nila. He ate their food and ate it the way they ate it. He slept where they sleep, hang out where they regularly hang out, spoke their language. Bagamat naniniwala ako na naging maingat si Paul na hindi sundin yung cultural sin ng Galatians, but he became so integrated into the life of the community na para siyang isang tunay na Galatian. Now, bakit niya ginawa ito? Bakit ang pilit na parang gusto mamuhay na parang Galatian? Well, we'll give you 2 reasons for that. Una-una, ginawa niya ito so that he could explain the gospel in words na mauunawaan nila. Ang famous term dito is contextualization. Ang ibig sabihin po ng contextualization is explaining the gospel in words that the people would understand. So ginawa po niya ito para maitawid, maipaliwanag ng malinaw at tama ang gospel to the point na mauunawaan ng mga Galatians. Second reason kung bakit ginawa niya ito, he became like the Galatians in order to help the Galatians to become like him. Na teka muna, parang nakakalito po yan. So sinasabi niyo, Pastor, he became like the Galatians in order the Galatians to become like him. So parang ano nangyayari dito? Well, hindi niya ginagawa ito dahil mataas ang tingin niya sa kanyang sarili. Ano? Hindi niya rin po ginagawa ito dahil nakikita niya siya isang malaking halimbawa ng Kristyanismo o ang standard ng Kristyanismo na dapat tularan ng lahat ng mga Galatians. Hindi po. Ang pinakadahilan kung bakit niya ginawa ito is so that the Galatians would become like Christ. Yun ang kanyang goal. Christ was already starting to take shape sa buhay ni Paul. Ayon sa Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, if you would back up sa passage, sabi ho dyan, it is I who no longer live, but Christ who lives in me. Paul is saying, imitate me. Gayahin niyo ako. Ako ang dating Pharisee who was justified not by the works of the law, but was justified by placing my faith on Christ's finished work on the cross for justification, for salvation. Yan yung Paul na kung saan niligtas ng Panginoon. Paul was appealing to them not through strong theological arguments, bagamat ginawa din po niya yun sa mga previous passages na inaaral natin, but sa passage nito, he was appealing to them as someone who loves them. As someone who has a relationship with them. He's saying, bakit kayo nakikinig sa mga false teachers na yan? Bakit nyo sila ginagaya? Bakit nyo sila iniimit? Hindi kayo kilala niyan. Ako kilala ko kayo. Ako ang gayahin ninyo. Walang pakialam sa yung mga yan. Ipapahamak lang kayo ng mga mama niyan. Sinabi niya din ito sa ibang mga letters niya sa churches. Kumapanin sa 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 1. Yung principle na follow me as I follow Christ. Sabi sa 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, be imitators of me, sabi ni Paul, as I am of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 16, I urge you then, be imitators of me. Philippians chapter 3 verse 17, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the examples you have. So, sinasabi ni Paul sa Philippians 3:17, hindi lang ako, pati mga kapatiran nyo na lumalakad ng parang si Kristo, sundin din ninyo, gayahin po ninyo. Philippians chapter 4 verse 9, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And the God of peace will be with you. Ito po ang naisin ni Paul sa mga taga-Galatia. Ito po ang naisin ni Paul ay makita ang Galatians to become more and more like Jesus Christ. That they would follow him, that they would follow Paul as Paul follows Christ. I know lahat po tayo ay may mga masasabing mga heroes natin sa faith. People who we look up to or even imitate. When I was a young pastor, mayroon akong isang person that I really admired, that I considered as a hero of faith. And ang pangalan niya ay si John Piper. Sa sobrang gusto ko siya, ay ginagaya ko ang tono niya every time nagbe-preach siya. Yung boses niya, pag tinataas niya yung kanyang mga braso, yun talagang, as a young preacher, gusto ko maging parang ni John Piper. Lahat halos na mga quote niya galing sa kanya, quote na sinasabi ko ay galing sa kanya, kapag may theological or pastoral issues, sinesearch ko kagad sa internet kung ano ba yung masasabi ni John Piper patungkol sa issue na ito. Yun po ako. I was trying to imitate him. And I know that most of us, if not all, ay may mga sikat na pastors who we admire at ginagaya din. Madalas natin sila napapanood sa YouTube, napapakinggan sa podcast, sinusundan sa FB, sa IG, sa Twitter, or binabasa natin yung mga libro nila. We follow them, post their quotes, we imitate them, we speak well of them, and maybe sa part-time na to, we probably sound and think like them. We praise God. Hindi naman mali po ito. We praise God for these pastors who are extraordinarily gifted. Because they are extraordinarily gifted, many people, thousands of people, benefited from these giftings and ministry. But friends, God has also gifted us to church. God has also gifted us dito sa crossroads, ordinary men and women that we can imitate. Ordinary men and women that we can imitate dito sa crossroads. And we should praise God for them. Friends, let us imitate Jason Maharuco, Joel Pantanares, Sara Franco, Rosel Verdejo, who go out of their way within the week to intentionally meet men and women from our church for Bible reading, encouragement, counsel, and prayer. Friends, let us imitate si Jerome Pascual, Kiko Manalo, Marvin Obriana, Bon Lorbes, Michelle Maynes, Gemma Ruzol, who all work hard behind the scenes, humbly serving our church in practical ways. Friends, let us imitate Jack Mortola, John Maynes, and Erickson Cruz, who, like Paul, have great love and concern sa iglesia na ito. And had sacrificed their time, their energy, and even resources in praying and shepherding and pouring their lives
sa mga members ng church natin. Friends, imitate these men and women. Friends, follow them as they follow Christ. We are not saying follow their sinful habits or patterns sa kanilang buhay. No, that's not what we're saying. But imitate the way they live through faith in the Son of God, who transformed them by grace through the power of His Spirit. Imitate them. Imitate Christ-like attributes na nakikita natin sa kanila. Especially yung attributes of them trusting the Lord Jesus Christ by grace to change them. Let's imitate their repentance. Let's imitate their sorrow over sins. Let us imitate them pursuing holiness, righteousness, and purity. Friends, whether we like it or not, there are people sa ating buhay who will follow us, who will imitate us. So mga kaibigan, ano sa tingin ninyo ang ginagaya nila sa inyo? Are they imitating a life that is lived through faith in the Son of God for sanctification? Or are they imitating a life whose sanctification is dependent on how they will perform? Paul urges the Galatians to imitate him because he noticed that they are starting to imitate the wrong people. Second question. What happened to your joy? What happened to your joy? Ang tunay na anak ng Diyos finds true joy in the ministry of God's Word. Ang salitang blessedness of verse 16 literally means joy or happiness. Masaya mga Galatians nung una nilang narinig ang gospel ni Jesus Christ. They were joyful, they were rejoicing, they were happy. Why? Because it brought them from slavery to sonship, had taken them out of darkness into His wondrous light. They become sons of God. Pinalaya sila sa kanilang mga kasalanan. And so Paul now reminds them how they joyfully received the gospel message, and even the gospel messenger, which is Paul. So Paul recounts yung unang encounter nila sa isa't isa. Kung maalala ninyo, si Barnabas ay pinuntahan ni Paul. Si Barnabas pinuntahan niya si Paul sa Antioch. Kinuha po siya ron in order to bring him to Galatia to help him sa gospel work na nangyayari ron, to share the gospel sa mga Galatians, to disciple yung mga Galatians, to shepherd yung church. Kaso ang hindi po natin alam nung time na yon o yung mga panahon na yon, si Paul mismo ay may matinding karamdaman na pinagdadaanan. Look at verse 12 hanggang 14. You did me no wrong. You know it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first. Verse 14. And though my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn or despise me, but received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. Some scholars suggest yung karamdaman na ito ay malaria, na marahil ang isang nagdulot ang may isang lamok na kumagat sa kanya, nagdulot ng karamdaman na ito. Some scholars believe that nakuha po niya itong kagat na ito sa bandang Mediterranean, na kung saan, sa coast ng Mediterranean. And because of that, ang ginawa ni Paul and ni Barnabas, sinamahan siya papunta doon sa mga bundok ng Galatians para doon mag-recuperate, magpagaling. Some say ang karamdaman ay may kinalaman sa kanyang mata or eye ailment, no? I think if we would go back sa, some believe that it goes back way back sa Acts chapter 9, kung saan the road way to Damascus, remember, Jesus Christ blinded Paul and eventually nakakita siya ulit, and from there, after na pinagaling siya ni Jesus Christ, may scales na nag-drop sa kanyang eyes. Some scholars believe nagkaroon ng infection yun, hindi na rin gumaling, hanggang kulit siya ng Panginoon. And yun daw ang sinasabi sa verse 15. Ang sinasabi nila na kung meron lang doktor nung panahon na yun na kayang mag-operate sa mata ni Paul, ang gagawin daw ng Galatians, i-dodonate itong nila yung kanilang mata para mailagay kay Paul. Well, kung ano man ang karamdaman na yun, pamilyar na pamilyar ang mga taga-Galatia kung ano man yung karamdaman na yun. Bagamat, tayo ay hindi kasi wala pong naisusulat dito. Bagamat meron tayong importanteng aral na pwedeng makuha ho dito, kahit hindi ho natin alam yung details. So, unang-una, sa situation ng kalagay ni Paul, we must understand that God uses problems to fulfill His purposes. God uses problems to fulfill His purposes. Like us, Paul never enjoyed to be sick. We never want to feel weak. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, ilan beses siyang nanalangin at nakiusap sa Panginoon na natanggalin yung tinatawag na thorn of the flesh. Now, if ang thorn of the flesh na ito ay isang karamdaman, then he is asking the Lord to restore his health, that the Lord would provide strength sa kanya. But in God's providence, ang sagot ng Panginoon sa kanya ay hindi. Hindi kita pagagalingan. Hindi ko tatanggalin yung thorn of the flesh na yan. But God used Paul's suffering as an opportunity to demonstrate his power. To demonstrate his power that is made perfect in his weakness. So nung humarap si Paul sa mga Galatians na may matinding karamdaman at kahinaan, he shared the gospel of grace sa kanila in his weakness. But because through that, God's power was manifested by setting the Galatians free from slavery, then to sonship, God made them his children. Mga kaibigan, kahit gaano kadilim ang kalagayan ng sitwasyon natin ngayon, God is able to bring the greatest good out of a very dark situation. Kaya wala pong kapakinabangan kung tayo po ay magre-reklamo sa ating sitwasyon. Wala pong pakinabangan kapag tayo po ay mangangamba o magpapanik. Mas mainam po na magtiwala tayo sa isang mabuting Diyos na alam ang kanyang ginagawa. At abangan natin kung paano niya mabibigay ang sarili niya ng kaluwalhatian sa kalagitnaan ng kadiliman na ito. Sabi sa Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, we know the story of Joseph, na kung saan bineta siya ng kanyang mga kapatid, and has gone through series of hardship. And now, kaharap na niya yung kanyang mga kapatid na nakabow down sa harapan niya. He is now the second most powerful man in the world during that time. At yung mga kapatid niya ay takot na takot sa kanya. Ito ang sinabi niya. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. Friends, maybe yung global na nangyayari sa mundo ngayon na issue. I know a lot of us are panicking or even worried and anxious. And we don't know kung ano ginagawa ng Panginoon, but trust that a good God knows what He is doing. And He's doing this for our edification, for our sanctification. And ultimately, He will get the glory sa situation na ito. Second, God's people are to welcome God's messengers with warm hospitality. I think we see that in verse 14. And though my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn or despise me. Matindi ang karamdaman ni Paul po dito ayon sa verse 14. Kasi ang verse 14 suggests na that kung ano man ang karamdaman o injury ni Paul po dito, kung ano man ito, ikapansin-pansin ito. Napaka-obvious to. Sa unang tingin ni Paul, alam mo may problema itong mama na ito physically. Now, ang totoo niyan, Paul didn't look good. Paul didn't look good. Some scholars describe it as visually repulsive. Na ang ibig sabihin po ay ito'y hindi kaaya-aya tignan. O ito'y kahindik-hindik tignan. Hindi nakapagtataka kung nireject ng mga Galatians si Paul dito. Dahil sa ancient Greek times, ang taong may matinding karamdaman or may deformity ay considered as a sign of the God's displeasure sa kanya. Or pinalulusahan siya ng mga Diyos-Diyosan. O kaya naman may demonic influence itong mamang ito. Ganyan po ang tingin sa mga taong may deformity or malubha ang karamdaman. Nung sinabi ni Paul, the Galatians did not despise me, he literally is saying, buti na lang hindi siya dinuraan ng mga Galatians. Hindi siya tinakwil. Hindi siya tinakwil. Bagamat kahit gano'n na lang ang ka-attractive si Paul nung panahon na iyon, the Galatians did not reject him. In fact, iba ang tingin at tinrato nila kay Paul. Tingnan niyo po yung verse 14. But receive me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. In short, ang tingin nila kay Paul ay parang isang anghel na nanggaling sa langit. They gave him a kind and warm welcome, isang welcome that they would have given to Christ himself. Ganyan ka-warm, magka-caring ang pagsalubong at pag-welcome nila kay Paul. Now, bakit gano'n na lang ang kanilang pagtanggap? Bakit gano'n na lang ang kanilang pagtrato kay Paul? Well, the reason is because they love Paul. And the reason is the reason why they love Paul, it's because they love God's Word. They recognize na si Paul ay isang apostle na galing sa Diyos, isang official messenger ng Panginoon Jesucristo. Kaya tinanggap nila ang ministry ni Paul with joy, katulad ng pagtanggap nila sa salita ng Diyos. Friends, this reminds us that the primary qualification of an elder or pastor is that he is able to preach God's Word. Maraming tao may mga expectations, maling expectations sa kanilang mga pastor, and sadly, they look at a lot of different things na hindi naman ang nanggagaling sa Bible. Some expect na yung pastor nila ay bibisitain lahat ng mga membro nilang may sakit. At kapag hindi nila binisita, ay hindi tapat na pastor yun. Some believe na ang pastor ay dapat magaling magpatawa. Kapag hindi magaling magpatawa si pastor, anong klaseng pastor yan? Na dapat si pastor ay dynamic, kailangan energetic, kailangan si pastor ganito, ganito, itsura ni pastor na kukuha ng atensyon ng tao. Na ang pastor na dapat ay parang CEO and napakadami pa pong mga unrealistic and even unbiblical qualifications or expectations ang ginagawa ng mga tao sa kanilang mga pastor. Mga kaibigan, pastors should not be gauged or judged sa kanilang abilidad, sa kanilang itsura. Eh kung yun ang basihan, paano wala na ako sigurong credibilidad sa iglesia natin. Hindi ko sa itsura, hindi sa personalidad, hindi sa popularidad, even sa galing niya magsalita, hindi po. Pastors should be evaluated primarily by the faithfulness to the Word of God. Yun po ang basihan. Kung tapat ang turo nila sa salita ng Diyos, then dapat welcome natin ang message na tinipreach nila. And if we do welcome God's message, it is like us welcoming Jesus Himself. Scholars, the Galatians love God's Word. And they also love Paul who brought them the gospel message sa kanila. Tignan niyo po yung verse 15. For I testify to you that if possible, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. Medyo morbid to. Ano ba ibig sabihin ito? Of course, hindi po ito literal. This is hyperbole or an exaggeration to make a point. It's an imagery. Kasi po, in ancient times, ang mga mata ng isang tao ay considered ang pinaka-importante o mahalagang bahagi ng kanyang katawan. In short, this tells us that they love Paul so much that they are willing to sacrifice their life sa kanya. Friends, I know I might sound self-serving by asking this question, but I know the application demands it from the text. Friends, listen, pastors are gifts to the church. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says, they are keeping watch over your souls. God has blessed Crossroads with additional three pastors, three elders. At masasabi ko po that they truly are a blessing sa ating church. I've been working already for months and they have been laboring faithfully to shepherd your souls, to shepherd the souls of Crossroads. And I praise God for them. Friends, do you love your pastors? Let me give you a few tips on how to love your pastors. First of all, if you love your pastor, pray for your pastor. Pray for them.
Well, pastor, hindi na kailangan ng prayer ni pastor kasi siya ay malapit sa Diyos. Eh, mali na naman po yun.
We constantly ay nakikipagdigmaan sa forces of darkness sa mundo na ito. Every time we confront someone, every time we prepare sermons, every time we pray, we are confronted, attacked by the enemy. We need your prayers. There are times that we're really discouraged. May mga times of weakness. Can we pray that we would not fall into sin? Pray that the Lord would keep us qualified. Pray that we would rely on the gospel of Jesus Christ. So pray for your pastors if you love them. Ikalawa, encourage your pastors. If you love your pastors, encourage them. Encourage what, pastor? Encourage their labor. I'll give you a tip. If you want to encourage your pastor and you are blessed sa kanyang preaching, I encourage you to approach him after the service. Say thank you, appreciate it. And this is how you do it. Don't just come to the pastor and say, hey, pastor, okay yung sermon, and leave it there. You would do him a lot of good when you say, pastor, I am encouraged sa sermon, sa part ng sinabi mo ito. Etong reflection ko sa aking life, and I praise God for that. That's really helpful para sa amen. And part of it, we know that you're not flattering us. Okay? Now don't just go to the pastor na kung saan bubulahin lang natin para nasabi na encourage. No. Encourage us in the right way. If you're praying for us, ganun po din. Pastor, pinagpipray ko, praise God. Well, tell us what you've been praying for us. Dadagdagan po namin. Kasi we'll inform your prayers. So if you love your pastors, encourage them. Remember their birthdays. Remember their wives' birthdays. Remember their children's birthdays. Be kind and warm to their family. Because ito yung immediate people na kung saan nagme-minister sa kanila. People na means ng grace ng Panginoon for them to continue. Third, if you love your pastor, and here, totoo po ito, be patient sa kanilang weaknesses. Be patient sa kanilang weaknesses. Here's the truth, pastors are not perfect, and probably you know that by now. Dalawang taon na tayo magkakasama, and definitely you see my flaws, you see my weaknesses, you see yung mga rough edges ko in areas na kung saan alam nyo na kailangan kong baguhin by the grace of God. So be patient with us. Be gracious to us. If we need to be called out para magbago, please approach us. Tell us our sins so we can change. But please, kung gagawin niyo po yun, please be considerate. Please be gracious. Please be loving. And please, huwag niyong patagalin. To the point na nakalimutan niyo na at naduwag na kayo sabihin. Okay? Pastor, hindi ko alam kung paano mag-approach kay Pastor. Eh, well, we can all, well, one, you pray. And second, ask another elder or pastor na bigyan kayo ng counsel. Paano i-approach yung kasama niyang pastor? So that's one way of you loving us. Fourth, and I know this is true, because I know I've unconsciously done this against Nothing members, forgive your pastor's sin. Forgive your pastor's sin. Let us know if we have offended you. Let us know if we have sinned against you. Let us know if we have caused you to stumble and go back to sin. Yun yung isang bagay na ayaw na gawin. And please, if we need to apologize sa inyo, inform us of our wrong. So these are four of the many things that you can love your pastors. The Galatians love Paul. Mahal na mahal nila si Paul. And Paul loved them. And had invested a lot in them. But when the Galatians started to believe a different gospel, started to follow and imitate false teachers, they turned against the gospel. They turned against Paul. They betrayed Paul. It's like a father who loved his child, raised him well, para ma-witness lang na mapapariwala ang kanyang buhay o magre-rebelde sa kanya. That's heartbreaking. That hurts. He felt rejected by them. I want you to feel the tone in verse 15. What has become of your blessedness? What has become of your joy? Nasaan na yung joy ninyo? Nasaan na ang kasiyahan ninyo? What happened to your joy? What happened to your happiness sa salitaan ng Diyos? Ano nangyari sa happiness and joy nyo sa gospel? Ano nangyari sa happiness or joy nyo kasama ang mga anak ng Diyos? What happened to your joy and happiness to your ministers? Hindi nagbago ang gospel ni Paul, friends. Hindi nagbago. He still proclaims the good news of the cross. He still proclaims the empty tomb. He still preaches justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Hindi siya nagbago ng gospel. Ang nagbago yung Galatians. That's why nagtaka si Paul sa verse 11, kung magbabalik tayo from last week's passage. He said in a very concerning manner, I am afraid I may have labored over you in vain. Because why? Paul cannot see their hearts, but he can see their lives. They can hear yung kanilang mga sinasabi. He can see yung decision-making sila. As if Paul is saying, parang hindi ko ma-affirm na anak ng Diyos. And ang totoo niya, mga kapatid, mga kaibigan, ang tunay na anak ng Diyos ay tunay na rebelde, tunay na pariwala, tunay na patuloy na tumatakbo palayo sa Diyos, because we are by nature fallen. And a fallen nature of man is always rebellious against God. Because God is holy, God is righteous, He needs to judge. Yung ganong klaseng tao. And that's all of those who rebel against God. And God, in His mercy and grace, did not treat us as our sins deserve. Send His Son, Jesus, who lived a perfect life na hindi natin kaya, and died on that cross that we deserved. On that cross, He has taken yung sin natin, bore our sin, and received the full wrath of God. Pinarusahan ng Diyos Ama, ang Diyos Anak sa cross para sa atin, na dapat tayo ang pinarusahan. God's judgment led to death, the death of the Son. But the Son, who is innocent and righteous, God was pleased to accept yung sacrifice na yon, has raised Him on the third day. He ascended in heaven, now seated at the right hand of the Father, and God the Father glorifies Him. Makaibigan, kung ikaw ay patuloy na tumatakbo ka palayo sa Panginoon, patuloy na nagre-rebelde sa Diyos, patuloy na pinatitigas ang puso, if narinig mo itong pag-asa na ito, ang tawag dito ay gospel, ang mabuting balita. At ang mabuting balita is urging you to repent from your sins. Talikuran mo na lahat ng iyong kasalanan. Pagsisihan mo, at ilagay mo yung pananampalataya kay Kristo at yung ginawa niya sa krus para sa kapatawaran sa kasalanan, para sa iyong kaligtasan. This is the gospel message na patuloy pinipreach ni Paul kahit feeling niya sa time na to siya na lang mag-isa. The Galatians are starting to drift away from the true gospel, unwilling to listen to God's word. When they turn away from God's message, they also turn away from God's messenger. And by telling them the truth of this error, that sa kinonfront sila ni Paul, ito yung response, nagalit yung mga Galatians sa kanya. Inakusahan siya. Tinakwil siya. Ito yung sinabi ni Paul. Look at how he responds to them, kahit nagre-rebelde sila. So verse 16, have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? O ngayon, kaaway ko na kayo? Dahil pinaalala ko lang sa inyo yung gospel na tinanggap ninyo with joy? Kaaway ko ba kayo ngayon?
Friends, ganito po ang nangyayari kapag tayo po ay lumayo sa salita ng Diyos. Pag lumayo tayo sa Diyos, mamamali ang ating doktrina. Pag namali ang ating doktrina, mamamali tayo ng pamumuhay. At kapag namali po tayo ng pamumuhay, iiwasan natin ang mga kapatiran sa Panginoon. At hindi lang natin iiwasan ang mga kapatiran sa Panginoon, kamumunghian natin ang mga ngaral ng salita ng Diyos. At titigas ang puso mo sa salita ng Diyos. What did Paul do? Sumuko na lang ba si Paul? Iniwanan naman ba niya si Paul? Did he turn back? Bumigay ba si Paul? No, he did not. Paul was still committed to them, which is your number three and last. As if the words of Paul, I made it in point number three natin, what I am willing to commit. Look at verse 17. They make much of you, but for no good purpose. They want to shut you out that you may make much of them. Dito binanggit ni Paul na ang strategy ng mga Judaizers. Ang dating ay parang nagmamalasakit yung mga false teachers na ito. Nagmamalasakit, parang concerned sa kanilang situation sa Galatia. Pero ang totoo niyan ay wala silang pakialam sa mga Kristiyanong ito. Sinisiraan nila si Paul at binabaluktot ang katotohanan ng gospel. Ang tunay na dahilan po ay gusto lamang talaga nila makuha yung pabor ng mga Galatians. Gusto nila sila yung susundin, sila yung mapupuri, sila po ang mapapasalamatan. Gusto po nila to kasi naiingit sila kay Paul eh. In fact, ayaw nga ni Paul na kung saan may mga ganong grupo-grupo na faithful sa kanya. Gusto nila ni Paul faithful lang sa Panginoon. And they try to win them by giving them flattery o pangbobola o mga kasinungalingan. Nakita ni Paul ang kanilang motibo, kaya sabi niya sa verse 18, it is good, it's always good, to be made much of for a good purpose, and not only when I am present with you. But he's trying to say, okay lang naman maging zealous eh. Okay lang po yun. As long as tama ang layunin o motibo mo. And for the Judaizers, they are zealous sa ministry for the wrong reasons. They're trying to do discipleship, they're trying to do evangelism, bukod sa mali ang kanilang tinuturo, mali rin ang kanilang motibo. It's for self-exalting reasons. Friends, if you are serving in the ministry of music, in the ministry of setup, in the ministry of discipleship, you meet people every week, do Bible studies, na kung ginagawa po natin lahat ng ito ay magagatang bagay. Pero kung ginagawa po natin ito para lamang sumikat o mapansin po tayo, then that is a self-exalting reason. Ito po ay hindi kaaya-aya sa Panginoon. You become glory thieves sa harapan ng Diyos. Sa lahat ng paghihirap at heartaches na dinulot ng mga Galatians kay Paul, hindi siya sumuko. Kahit ganito na kung nangyayari. Kahit ganito na nangyayari. Tignan niyo sinabi niya sa verse 19. My little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. Paul calls them little children because he considered them as a spiritual children. Siya po nag-share ng gospel. Nakita po niya kung paano nakakilala sa Panginoon. And from there, siya po ang spiritual father. He uses yung imagery ng labor pains, no, sa panganak. A mother who is laboring is going through intense hardship in order to give birth sa kanyang anak, even if it causes her yung life po niya. Paul shared the gospel of grace to them, saw them come to faith in Christ, had witnessed their growth sa faith, and now, nakikita niya na parang walang saysay ang kanyang ginawa. What he is saying is this,
I am willing to go through all these hardships over and over again to the point of death to pursue you in love, so that you would grow in Christ-likeness. Gagawin niyo po lahat po yun. That's how Paul loves them. That's how he loves the bride of Christ. That's how he loves Christ. Paul cares less of the praises of men to guide among Judaizers. His main concern, his main desire is for the Galatians to become more and more and more like Jesus Christ. At gagawin po na lahat po niya ng kanyang natitirang buhay para mangyari po ito. Friends, are we willing to go that far? Are we willing to go through hardships and difficulties and rejection and suffering to see a brother and sister dito sa crossroads grow in Christ-likeness? Are you willing to go that far? Is there a brother or sister in Christ na kailangan mo kumprontahin because they're not walking in step of the gospel? Oh, pastor, mahirap na eh. Ayoko naman sabihin parang ime-epa lang ako sa buhay na. No. You should go and do what is right and pleasing sa Lord. That this is for her his sanctification. Even to the point of rejection. Kasi yun po nangyari kay Christ. Look how, friends, may I encourage you to also pray. Pray for your elders again. Pray for your pastors that they won't give up. Pastoring is not an easy task or job, some may call it. It's a lifestyle, yung pagiging pastor. And we are called to shepherd yung sheep ni Jesus Christ. But sometimes there are sheep who are rebellious. There are sheep na kung saan who are hard-hearted. And at times, many pastors, kung titignan mo yung, kung angat mo yung kanyang pantalon, kung kanyang maraming sheep bite marks. Of course, that's an imagery or figurative. But pray for your pastors. Help them not give up on the people that the Lord has entrusted sa amin. Now, as we end, tingnan nyo yung last part, verse 20. Look how pastoral yung tone ni Paul po dito. I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone, for I am perplexed about you. Ano yung sabihin ni Paul po dito? What Paul is saying is this. Alam ko sa letter na ito, parang masyado akong direct, para akong galit, parang ganun yung tone ko. Pero ang totoo niyan, sana nandyan ako para madinig nyo ang tunay na tone ko is more of a tone of a pastor, tone of a shepherd, tone of a person who is concerned. Paul is expressing his love sa church na ito. Friends, pray for your pastors that they would express genuine love sa mga members ng church na ito. I pray that we would model that well. We pray that we would walk humbly sa harapan ng Panginoon, that we would walk in step of the gospel so that those who follow us would also walk in step of the gospel. Kasi yun po ang palatandaan ng tunay na anak ng Diyos. A true child of God knows the freedom of God's grace and the joy of God's word. Let us pray. Father, would you rekindle our hearts? Rekindle our hearts with the gospel. Rekindle our hearts that we would have true, genuine joy. Joy that is not found in circumstances. Joy that is not found on situations. But joy that is found in Christ alone. Ang prayer ko po, Panginoon, sa sa amin na taga-crossroads that we would continue to grow in Christ-likeness. Help us to be intentional towards one another. Even sa uncertain times na pinagdadaanan, help us not to be consumed by fear, but to grow in faith. I pray for the brothers and sisters who are going to discuss yung sermon passage na ito. I pray that you would guide them. I pray that you would reveal to them more application points sa kanilang napag-aralan sa passage na ito. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.